From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. There are forms of music that take their inspiration from the geography of a place, where the land is baked into the songs, like the Delta Blues or Appalachian music. But what about the desert of the Southwest? The folklorist Hal Cannon and some musician friends he started playing with in Virgin, Utah, felt like there needed to be desert music, so they started making it. Music inspired by their experiences in that place, the dry wind, the flash floods, the thoughts that come to you in a desolate, beautiful place. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music with some really, really local music. Three Hat Trio is the name of the band. They'll join us after the news.
Support for Radio West comes from thousands of sustainers, listeners just like you who give ongoing monthly donations to help pay for the public radio shows they rely on. Show your love for Radio West by becoming a sustainer, starting at just $5 a month at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The band Three Hat Trio didn't set out to create a new genre of music, but they all wanted to do something new, or anyway different from the music they were playing. Hal Cannon played a lot of folk music, for example. Eli Renkel played classical violin. Greg Istok played Caribbean island music. They found each other in southern Utah where they live, and you know it how it is when you're a musician. You start playing together, and then one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden, you've got a band. The desert music came as they tried to express their own experiences living in the desert. They tried to find the common ground they shared, but they set some ground rules. They would try not to play music the other person had already played, and they would figure out then how they could communicate. That's how Greg Istok puts it. Well, Three Hat Trio has just released a third album. It's called Solitaire. Today in the program, they're joining us to talk about it and to play. Hal Cannon, you probably recognize, folklorist, musician, plays banjo and guitar for Three Hat Trio. Hal was part of the local group, the Desert String Band, still plays and records with the band, Red Rock Rondo. Still a busy guy. Hal, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Doug.
Greg Istok from Miami spent 25 years as leader of a Caribbean band. He plays bass and kick drum for Three Hat Trio. And Greg, welcome to you.
Hi, good morning.
Eli Renkel plays violin. He's a student at Southern Utah University. Three Hat Trio's just released their new album I mentioned, and we'll get back to that as we go along. And Eli, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
One of the things I wanted to sort of talk to you guys about, and I don't want to make too much of the idea of what desert music is, although it is something that I think you do think about as kind of a new kind of a genre, but this is something that you've talked about that you can sense in other kinds of music. Appalachian music, Delta blues, geography. You can sense a place. And that's, I want to start with that before we get into desert music. Like, what do you hear in other forms of music that tells you about a place?
Well, unfortunately, it's sort of indefinable. Yeah. It's like being there, you know, you're in a place and you feel it and it moves you, and then you leave it and it's gone. And that's very much like music, you know, you listen to music and it's gone. But you know, we play along with our landscape.
Yeah.
That might sound odd, but when we rehearse, we're looking out at these red cliffs and we're looking out at this big sky, red against blue, and the river, Virgin River coming down. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're feeling. And for some reason, playing to that, playing for that, has a real impact. And it's really hard to define how I hear it in other musics. You know, I'm not sure. I know that you can be going down the road and play certain music on your machine or your radio, and it fits.
Yeah.
All of us have had that experience.
And you just know it. You're not sure. Yeah. You can't really define it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, right?
That was a long answer for nothing.
No, I get it. I mean, I think that's part of it. Why do you figure that there hasn't been desert music? You know, people live in the desert, and they know they do songs about cowboys, but why not songs about desert.
You know, there's a lot of desert music out there. We're not the inventors of desert music. But the fact is, if you asked 90% of people what Western music is, they'd say cowboys and Indians. And there just needs to be a bigger definition, although cowboys and Indians definitely took in the desert with their music, for sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I guess, that's interesting. I want to come back to that, actually. Greg, what's your sense of desert, whatever that means, desert music?
First, just forgive me, but let me just say we all listen to you down in southern Utah there. We love your program, all right? You're awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's nice. Thanks.
You're awesome. You know, it's hard. When we first started talking about it, you know, we're playing desert music, we didn't have that as a plan. So we weren't really sure, you know, how we were going to kind of make that fit or whatever. And the more we kind of looked at it and the more things started to happen, it was kind of like the answer came first before the question almost, you know? And it was like, you know, we can't deny that where we live is having an impact on what we do. I think the definable moment for us was when Hal brought this, like, Arabian song in one day that we don't know where it came from, and we're like, you know, we are in the desert, aren't we? Just like, you know, the desert of Arabia or whatever. And I think that kind of made a click happen that we're like, maybe there's some kind of connection happening here between the land and us that we're actually picking up on, maybe even subconsciously, if not consciously.
Yeah. Is that tongues?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So where did you get it? Where did it come from?
I have a dear friend named Henry Reelbird, and we just had lunch in Hurricane. And he was on his way to the bucking horse sale. He and his family raised bucking horses. He's Crow. And we were just talking, we're exactly the same age. He was talking about sort of his grief at kids losing the Crow language and talking about just all the meaning, that, you know, thousands of years of meaning that's lost when you lose a language. And I went home and I just started thinking about that. You know, when you lose a tongue, what happens? And this song just came very automatically.
But what about so I get the lyrics part, or at least the idea of it, but what about it musically do you think was represented desert music, just like the sound of it? I mean, you said, Greg, Arabian, you heard some sort of Middle Eastern sensibility to it?
Yeah, I didn't do that consciously.
Really?
Yeah. I was just playing on the first fret a lot. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, I want to have you play it, if you would.
Okay.
This is, by the way, this is from the first album, is it not?
Yeah.
This is from year one. That was Three Hat Trio's first album. We're talking about Solitaire, and we'll get to that in a moment. But here's Tongues from Three Hat Trio.
I have journeyed very far, he said.
as Tongues from Three Hat Trio. It wasn't fully formed, though, when you first presented it to the guys, or was it?
Oh, no.
No. That's what I want to ask you about. The process. Is it? I think somebody said, and it might have been Eli, we're talking about there's this real sense of improv, at least in the creation phase. So let's all contribute to this thing. So how did it work? How did it develop?
Well, we started playing it. We were improvising to start with, and yeah. Eli had never done that. He was 15, and we got together and played, and it just sort of sounded good. I mean, we had no intentions of forming a group with a 15-year-old.
Yep,
that's for sure. And we just kept playing and kept working on some songs. We played at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And it has been a developing thing.
Yeah.
Trying to just make our different styles work together. It's very much like pioneers from different countries coming together.
Well, I think it's something, Greg, you had mentioned to one of our producers, is that you, in those early days, you needed to figure out if your music was going to communicate. Because you had a sense this may not work, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so, when you get together and play with people, if you play in a common piece of music or whatever, it's pretty easy to communicate with each other and kind of, play the same thing or whatever. But when you start to or make a decision to do something new or whatever, then you have to, there are no rules per se, which is a really cool thing, It's like, great, we don't have any rules here, But on the other side, it's like, it still has to sound like something, so you can't just kind of make racket, at least not all the time.
Right.
But, I think the best way I can explain it is, we spend a lot of time trying to come up with something, trying to come up with this thing, how about this? No, that doesn't work. And somebody will bring an idea. What about this? No, that doesn't work. And we had we've had days where we have this little time set aside, which we're just going to call our fun time, if you will, where there aren't any rules, and you can kind of do whatever you want. You can kind of, whatever. So we had one day where we had been working really hard, and hard work is a valuable thing to do, but it just wasn't going very well. And we said, let's just take a break. Okay, let's just stop for a minute, go sit on the couch, look at the river below the house there, look at the desert or whatever. And I said, you know what, you guys, let's call it for today, okay, because we're not getting anywhere. And I said, let's go back and go in the studio. I said, let's just goof off for 10 minutes before we go home, just to kind of end it on a fun note or whatever.
Yeah.
And I will record everything that we do, because, you just never know when you're going to hit on something. So I said, let's just go in and let's just play 5 more minutes just for fun or whatever, and just, and then we'll call it for today. And 45 minutes later,
wow,
we were all in this state of bliss almost, because we were just having a ball. We were just... it just went where it went. Somebody would throw something out there, and that would trigger the others to go in that direction too. So, again, a lot like Hal's song that he brought in that day, we kind of realized that we need to kind of just experiment and try to have fun first,
yeah,
and pick those pieces out of that as a building block to get to the next step.
Eli, you were 15 when you guys first started playing. Mm-hmm. What could you possibly know about music at 15? What did you? I mean, you're a decent violin player at the time, but I mean, what did you? I mean, I guess what I'm getting at, it seems like on some level, this is pretty cool. You're kind of a blank slate in some ways, mm-hmm, or is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I had taken private lessons since I was about 6 years old, and my only musical experience was classical music.
Yeah.
So reading notes. And mm-hmm, when these guys came to my house and we had like this little improv thing, that was the first time I've ever improvised, and it was like really scary, really terrifying in the beginning, but as it started to go along, it was like almost liberating,
because
I wasn't there were no rules,
right.
I wasn't conformed to this page of notes, and so I think that's what really got me excited in the first stages of this thing.
All right, so maybe Hal, you can tell this story. So Eli's 15. There's a classical recital at his house or something. He's trying to raise some money to go to Disneyland with what, your school group?
Yeah, my high school orchestra.
High school orchestra. That's great. And you're there. You, Greg and Hal show up, and you guys start, what, jamming? Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're family friends. The Rankle family are good friends of ours. Eli's father is a really wonderful artist and ceramicist and teaches at SUU, and he'd invited us to come down, bring our instruments. And so we show up, and after the thing, he hadn't told Eli that he'd invited us to play with his son. But afterwards, we started playing, and at the very end, Eli said, "Hey, that was sort of fun. Let's do this again."
You felt intimidated at all?
But, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, these guys are much older than I am and playing, and I knew they were fantastic musicians before that, and so it was just, I kept asking myself, like, why are they playing with me? Why are they allowing me to do this?
What's the answer to that? I mean, it's got to be better than just his technical skill, yeah?
No, it wasn't. And again, I go back to, you know, when you get together with somebody, we started off basically playing a blues progression. That's a language that most musicians can kind of understand. But yeah, we started off there. And, you know, again, there's a, you know, like having a communication or a talk with anybody, it either kind of clicks or it doesn't, you know? And it's like it just clicked. It was like he was hitting points that made sense to us, and it kind of said, oh, let's do it again. Let's play another song. If it didn't go well, we probably would have been, after the first song, okay, that was kind of fun, you know. But he kept hitting these points of interest for us that was like, okay, let's keep going with this. This is kind of cool, you know. So it was a communication was happening there beyond, you know, ego, let's say, beyond theory, beyond all that. It was just, we were just sitting down kind of talking to each other musically, and that was cool. We knew that was kind of rare, actually, a lot of times. So yeah, we needed to keep that going.
I might add that Greg and I had never played together either.
Right.
And we knew we were both seasoned musicians, but I think we looked at each other and said, no, we don't play the same kind of things. So in a way, Eli was our intermediary,
yeah.
For us playing music too.
I want to have you play a song called Range. This is from the new album. And there are a couple, Hal, I want to have you talk a little bit about this, because you've talked about how this is where you wanted to sort of capture that feeling when you go to a place where it seems like not very many people have been, but yet people have been there. Is this a feeling you get from time to time when you're in the desert?
Well, yeah, it's, first of all, it's indescribable, but yet, you know, so much of life is noticing the small things. Yeah. So, you know, I just tried to make a catalog of the things that I liked best about going out in the desert, finding like an overhang, maybe it's raining, looking up and noticing that people probably camped here 1,000 years ago, and there's evidence of that. And so that's what inspired this song.
We make a small mark, then fade in the dark. That's how it is on the range.
Yeah.
That's your sense of it. This is kind of an impermanence to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Here it is. It's called Range from the Three Hat Trio.
Roll in, it's darker than sin. He heads for a rock overhead. come down fast, but he knows it won't last. That's how it is on the range. He finds what is left of a camp in the cleft, a campfire's ancient reminder. Sifts through the sands, fried sprints from small hands, lays shards out, then leaves them behind. Well, life is so rare, but persistent out there. The desert is open and true. We make a small mark, then fade in the dark. That's how it is on the range. That's how it is on the range. That's how it is on the range.
Range from the album Solitaire. Three Hat Trio just released that album. It's the third. There's a link to that and other albums on our website, radiowest.org. We should also mention local filmmaker Daniel Whitaker has just produced a short film about the band. You can find it on videowest.org. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music with a group that is playing desert music. It's the latest project of Utah folklorist musician Hal Cannon. He's joined up with classical violinist Eli Rankel and Greg Istok, who is from Miami, spent 25 years as the leader of a Caribbean band. He plays bass and kick drum for the group. They have a third album now that's just out called Solitaire, and they're here with us to talk about it. Solitaire, what? Abbey? Edward Abbey? Is that where they came from?
Abbey, when he wrote Desert Solitaire, I think he put into words what a lot of us who love the desert felt about it. And so we're sort of aspiring to put into music what we feel about the desert.
Yeah. Dark Desert Night was the album just before this one, and you've talked about... Or I've read where you've said that album was inspired by that previous one, was sort of the night by dusk. Yeah. This is another time of day in the desert, the morning time?
Solitaire, yeah, is bathed in light.
Yeah?
Yeah. The light in the desert is it's very deceptive and alluring. It changes all the time. Light off of cliffs, mirages, it's all... a play in light, and the colors in the desert change by the way the sun hits them too, and we like that idea musically.
Yeah, you said before that I should be able to sense sandstorms and dry wind and flash floods in this music, but am I in the literal ways? That is, you're trying to recreate the essence of that sound, or just the essence of that idea in this music?
We're not trying to recreate that.
Like, that's not it.
No, sometimes we have fun. No. We've created storms.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but.
To answer your question, we are trying to evoke the feeling of it, not the sounds of it. So,
right.
Yeah, more the feeling and the experience and the emotional content that goes along with that, you know, the feelings that you're kind of getting out there. So it's there's a wealth of things out there in the desert to kind of get you going. So mm-hmm. we're trying to kind of tune in on those things, yeah. I think.
Eli, when you try to translate the sense of the desert through your violin, are there particular things you can explain or even play that gives me a sense of the desert, if you know what I mean, beyond the pieces that we're listening to?
Sure. I mean, I have all these effects in front of me, and I think a big kind of thing that I'll do is I'll put a bunch of delay and reverb and everything to make it, to give the violin a large sense of space.
Yeah.
Because the desert is open and spacious. And so that's kind of the thing that I'll do. And I, sometimes I'll try to recreate like wind sounds and, but I'm never really thinking about that specifically. It's always kind of a subconscious thing.
Yeah. I don't want to have you play the song, but I do want to ask about a song called What Do You Do? Mm-hmm. Hal, this is your song?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say, the lyrics, what do you do when your voice has no meaning? What can you do when you cry out at night? What can you do when your words don't mean nothing? What can you do? What do you do? Are you expressing like thoughts that come in that, in the desolation of and solitude of a desert?
Yeah, I mean, the desert is, since it's so open and so big, when you're there, you can feel very powerful, but you can feel very alone. And it sort of brings out the essential. And, you know, when I wrote that song, I was driving over to Greg's house, and I just started singing it. It was written by the time I got to Greg's house, and he lives a mile away.
Well,
yeah.
Where did Rose come from?
Rose, we were just playing, and we were improvising, and I started singing a song with some of those words and that melody, and then Greg said, you know, that's really a cool song, but the words aren't right. And so Greg and I, even though it's a brutally simple song, we agonized over almost every word in that song, and 'cause we wanted it to just have the essence of a scent of rose.
What did you figure was missing? Could you explain?
Oh, boy. I don't know if you want to go down that road, Doug. So I'm going to try to give you the short story, but so Hal and I are kind of from different musical theories, if you will, and the way I can best explain that is I come from the rhythmic side of music in a sense, although he does too, and he's a phenomenal rhythmic player, but I think he likes to think about the melody and that and the words, and you know, we are opinionated people. We are in this business sometimes, and one's opinion has to be put out there. And if one can sell his opinion and the others can agree with it after hearing it, then you kind of win that argument, you know.
Right.
So I'm very rhythmic kind of oriented, and to me the words should work rhythmically, and I will sacrifice words for rhythm, if you will. And it was kind of one of those kind of discussions.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you make this more, can you make this fit better rhythmically and make it sing rhythmically as much as it does with what you're saying?
It's a give and take, this process.
Yeah, it's a total give and take.
Definitely. Yeah. Mostly give on my part.
Is there in that case? Lost love, though, is what you're getting at with Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lost love, a big subject.
Yeah, a big subject. Well, let's hear it. This is Rose from Three Hat Trio.
land of rose softly came to me, rolling down the road, rolling down the road. Just one scent of rose. Scent of rose softly came to me, rolling down the road, rolling down the road.
Rose from the album Solitaire. Three Hat Trio is with us. Hal Cannon plays banjo and guitar. Eli Rankles on violin. Greg Stock plays bass and kick drum. We'll take another break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Hal Cannon is there tuning up the banjo for the next song. He and Greg Istock and Eli Rankle are with us. They're with Three Hat Trio. They just have released their third album. It's called Solitaire. I should also mention local filmmaker Daniel Whitaker has produced a short film about the band that you can see on videowest.org. They're joining us here in the studio to talk about their music and play. Okay, so Hometown is not on this latest one, but it interests me for a number of reasons. And how would you talk a little bit about it? This was the result. I mean, you have throughout your life gone around having interviews and conversations with people.
Yeah, I'm a folklorist, and also interviewed a lot of people for public radio over the years.
Yep.
And I was up in Downey, Idaho, and met an old man, and he was just such a wonderful, sincere guy, but he was like from a different era, you know. He's one of those guys with big baggy pants and a big baggy white shirt and suspenders on. And I went to the door and I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "You know, if I didn't have these suspenders on, I'd shoot plumb up in the air." I just knew I'd love this guy. But anyway, after a while, he said, "You know, I just don't know anybody in my town anymore." And I walk through the graveyard, and I know more people there than I do in town. And that always just stuck with me. I wrote a song about losing our hometown.
Yeah. Here it is, hometown.
It's now a lone town, alone in the town where I grew up. This is my hometown. It's now a lone town, alone in the town where I grew up. This is my hometown, and now a lone town, alone in the town where I grew up.
I'm going to switch the order on you guys. I want to do Eddie Mesa next. Is that going to mess you up, Cal?
No.
Are you ready?
Good. Almost.
Okay. This is Greg's song, and I want to talk about this one. Greg, where did this come from?
It came from, you know, where I live. It came from the desert, if you will. When I first moved to the desert, I was going to retire from music, and I'll try to make this brief, but I was going to retire from music and kind of stop playing for a while because I'd worked really hard at it for most of my life, and I decided I needed a job of some kind, so I took a job or was trained or learned how to do a job guiding people and taking them into the backcountry, because part of my love affair with this part of the world was the backcountry and getting back there and climbing and all that kind of thing. So I was trained and learned how to do this job, guiding people and taking them out every day and showing them the cool stuff that most people don't get to see when they come down our way. And I realized what was happening is I was kind of recharging my battery to play music again, but I was doing it through this landscape, through what I was looking at every day and these experiences that I was having. And I think this song is kind of somewhat connected to that, in as much that, you know, I got to go places that most people don't typically go, up on mesas and, you know, cliff edges and that kind of thing. And I think that's a picture that I use when I kind of do the song, of all these places that I've been, and I kind of try to relate that to the song, is, you know, what I'm seeing in the song as I'm doing it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Anything else to say about Eddie Mesa? Here it is. Eddie Mesa, Three Hat Trio.
Go there to find a piece of something, something that he left far behind him in time. When you drive up on it, it misses. You're always up there dancing and singing and carrying on. Something that he left back in time. Sit high up on Eddie Mesa now. Chase the runaway stars, flying across the desert night sky. Something up there, something he can feel up there, feel up there.
Three Hat Trio. Hal Cannon plays banjo and guitar, Eli Rankel on violin, Greg Istok plays bass and kick drum. They've just released their third album. It's called Solitaire. There's a link to that. Another album's on our website, radiowest.org. We should mention filmmaker Daniel Whitaker has produced a short film about the band. You can see it on videowest.org. I want you to do Mojave. I know that's totally throwing you off. Is that all right?
That's great.
Awesome.
And what I like about this is an instrumental piece that can sort of that can take us out. It started with a riff, Hal. You saw a spider, or you made you think of a spider.
Well, excuse me. Well, no, I think about this spider that only exists in the Mojave that can run like 15 miles an hour, and I just think it's so cool that a spider can run 15 miles an hour.
So do I. And
I try to do that on the banjo.
Is that what you're thinking about when you're playing
this
song?
Exactly.
Is that right? Beautiful. Okay, well, let me just mention that Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks to Emily Anderson, KUER's Michael Havey and Lewis Downey. The music was mixed by Adrian Moranville. Tim Slover's our technical director. The program is produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. Here it is, Mojave from Three Hat Trio.